What's up and welcome everyone to another exciting episode of the Army of Smartness podcast. I'm your co-host Ryan, and of course on the show today we go over the Survivor Series. Went down just this past weekend in WWE, which went over in the Nashville area. CM Punk, of course, did return, and if you listened to our previous episode, we talked about the possibility that he might, so we willed this into existence, I think. And, of course, Mr. RKO himself, Randy the Viper Orton, is back. Sunny Days, or Sunny, won't be here for at least 17 years at least. QT Marshall is gone from AEW, and Tony Khan is potentially looking to move to a New Japan pro wrestling model, which begs the question, how does AEW stop the bleeding, and does Mr. Maxwell Jacob Freeman stay? But before we get into all that, I would like to introduce to you my co-host, the ever-present, ever-intelligent, and always lovely, Mr. JD. Mr. JD, how you be?
Well, thank you for those kind words, Ryan. I got to say, though, you skipped over the lead. You buried the lead. The Atlanta Falcons, the Red Stallions, roared up and whooped those despicable Saints from New Orleans, Louisiana.
That is right. At 5-6, the Atlanta Falcons are
stand
in the
astride the SEC, NFC East, South, whatever the heck we are, like a colossus.
No, we're not quite SEC.
No, we wouldn't make the SEC. But we do have the SEC championship game coming up. Georgia, Alabama. Any chance that the Dogs can overcome that Crimson Tide coming into Atlanta? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, ain't nothing but a thing.
I hope that Bama has worked all their magic in beating Auburn this past week. Did you watch that? I witnessed it live as it happened. How about yourself?
I was rooting for Alabama to pull something off like that because I did not want them pissed off going into the SEC championship.
No, they're not going to lose 2 weeks in a row. No. So that helps.
You might get a 2-loss season out of Nick Saban. You are not going to get a 3.
No.
It's not going to happen. So, and oh, by the way, fuck Auburn. So I like it just fine. I don't mind.
He doesn't care for Auburn.
No, I don't at all. Went to law school in Montgomery, Alabama. Didn't really mind Auburn that much, and I went to law school in Montgomery, and now I say it with pride, fuck Auburn. What a bunch of douchebags. Anyways, and as you mentioned, we've got our Dogs and Falcons doing pretty well. Tell you what else is doing pretty well. That's our social media. So follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness. And, of course, email that Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. Leave that 5-star review. We could use a few more. And if you do, JD will go to your house and perform a karaoke song for you.
There you go. Depending on how much you engage, it depends on and how good the review is. You get to pick the song, or I get to pick the song.
There you go. So. And while all this was going on Saturday, of course, we had Georgia, of course, coming out on top against the Techies at
Rec Tech, baby,
at Sanford Stadium West.
That's right.
And
Avenue Trade School going down.
Well, and you know, it's great that we still have this set up with Georgia Tech, because I do want them to know what a packed stadium looks like. Mm-hmm. So way to go, Dogs, and do the damn thing. Even though Georgia Tech covered, and
they did,
and give them credit. I mean, you know,
they had a great game plan. They really did. All kidding aside, they came out, played hard, had a great game plan. They just got out talented.
We were sitting a few people that, well, maybe they could have played, but either way.
Yeah, Brock was in pads. I was surprised he didn't play at all.
Yeah, saving them for Bama, but you're really playing with fire when you did that, and it almost cost us. But but everybody knows.
Kirby knows how much to bet.
Almost doesn't count.
Only in hand shoes and horse grenades.
But anyways, while this was going on, of course, we had the Survivor Series going on. So I was literally watching the Georgia Tech and Georgia game with the Survivor Series going on my phone, and I was toggling back and forth between Georgia Tech and Florida and Florida State.
Tech Georgia,
And
please. So it doesn't sound like you're leaving us out.
yeah,
The
so
only
we were,
time I do the opponents first.
well, anyways, Tech game, whatever.
Clean old fashioned hate.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so we had a Survivor Series match going on at this time, of course. We did you happen to catch any of it on a replay or?
I caught the very tail end where the credit logo, the little copyright logo was. I saw that. I
So,
have been meaning to go back and watch the whole thing. I've not had a chance to yet, but I will.
okay, well, that's great because we're talking about it today.
Yeah, I know.
But
Well, we talk
anyways.
about what already. I know what happened. I didn't watch it happen. We're not reviewing it. We're just going over to see how right I was about all our predictions.
Well, in match one, we had Bianca Belair Shotzi Blackbird.
Yeah, him too.
Anyways, Shotzi Blackbird and Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair getting over on Damage Control. I actually can't remember what each of us picked on that one.
I thought I picked Damage Control. I think I picked the bad guys to win this one.
I really don't remember what I
You
picked.
don't listen either, huh?
No, I don't listen to us.
No, fair enough.
But yeah, so that one was actually pretty solid, all things considered. Good start to the pay-per-view here, but the pay-per-view itself was not very long at all, comparative to every other pay-per-view. I mean, there's only five matches, and the
Well, two of them
one,
are war games, though. That takes a while.
yeah, but the ones in between the war games were like 7, 8 minutes long, and there were like three of them. But anywho, that, but yeah, anyways, I thought you had some good spots in this one. All in all, I'd say it was a good match. I know you didn't watch it, so no sense in getting your opinion on it.
I thought it was tremendous. The best women's world war games match I have ever seen.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Gunther, of course, gets the win over the Miz. I thought probably the match of the night, honestly. Being as that it was only 12 minutes long, I think that they packed in a lot of good a lot of good action on that. Of course, Miz almost gets the win via Gunther putting him in the sleeper hold and Miz pulling a Bret Hart and springboarding off of the ropes and flipping over and trying to pin him that way. Then Gunther gets the win from the Lion Tamer or Boston
Boston
Crab.
Crab, yeah.
But he
But he
modifies
did
it
the
to
knee
put
in the
his
yeah, he did the knee
knee
in
in
the
the
back, which
back,
is the Lion Tamer.
which is
Yes.
Lion Tamer. So,
That's right.
yeah, all in all, I thought it was a good one. Miz ends up tapping on this one, and Gunter just looks about as strong as anyone on the roster.
Strong like a bull.
Can anyone take down Gunter?
Do we want them to? It's another question.
Well, that's my question is, can anyone do it? No,
Not
okay,
Miz,
and
apparently.
not gonna, okay, not gonna
Apparently
join
not
in
Miz.
on
Well,
that.
I mean, no one has in 947 days, whatever, how long it been?
I don't know, it's been a while, close to 500 days. Anyways,
500 days of Gunter.
and well, there might be a certain beast incarnate that might have something to say about that.
You think so?
I
You don't
think
think
so.
the Intercontinental title is beneath the notice of a Brock Lesnar?
I don't think Brock really cares about it.
That's what I'm saying. Why would he want the IC title? I don't know.
Well,
Yeah, I don't see this happening.
right now you've got about 20 contenders for the freaking world championship. They can't all go for it. And I mean, let's face it, Brock's got to be the only one, right?
No, I. Go ahead, please.
Well, I mean, that's got to be what they're shooting for.
Why? Why
Because
would that be? What good does it do Brock Lesnar to beat Gunther? Who cares? That's just another win for Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar beats everybody.
Yeah, but okay, so an up and coming star that you're trying to build around, you're going to have him beat him too? part-timer, okay. old-timer?
It's not like we put him over for 500 days.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that is equity that you're building up for whomever beats him. I think Bron Breakker's a lot better idea. You really want to make Bron Breakker? You got somebody, you got two young studs. You can have a rivalry for years building and building. Start it right here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
start it the night after WrestleMania.
Or, you know, make Bron beat Brock.
I don't think we need Brock right now. I think we can chill on Brock for a while.
I think you're going to get Brock. But that's just my opinion. And of course, Santos Escobar beat somebody named Dragon Lee.
Staggerly.
By pinfall. I don't even know that we picked this match. I think this
is No, I think this late. Is a late ad. Yes, card's up to change. I think this is stepping in for Carlito, isn't it? Wasn't Dragon Lee still in the shoes of Carlito?
Yeah, I believe he was. Yeah, that's what it was. That was Carlito versus Santos. But Santos obviously getting the push now. So, yeah, anyway, so good for Santos Escobar. I'm sure whatever he does good at it.
Yeah, he seems like he does real good. He does good work.
Up next, Rhea Ripley, of course, gets the win over Zoe Stark. I think we both picked that one. And Rhea Ripley just staying strong. And, you know, by and large, the Judgment Day has been pretty strong. Still is strong, even though Judgment Day is almost infallible to losses. I mean, they can lose all the time and it doesn't matter.
Well, they've tested that theory with Finn. So. Well,
they seem to be testing it with Dominic, too.
Well, yeah, now losses definitely don't hurt him because he's a chicken shit heel. He can get all his heat back immediately.
Yeah. Which brings us to the main event of the evening. This is, of course, Cody Rhodes, Seth freaking Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and their mystery partner. Not
will shock the world.
Not the Shockmaster. Of course, Mr. Randall Orton makes his return.
And I want to, on a personal note, congratulations to a friend of the show, Carl. I know you've had this day on your mind for a long time. So I just want to thank you and for being there for us, but also congratulate you on the accomplishment of seeing Randy Orton come back.
Yeah, and we should probably check on him. He might have died.
Well, no, he was talking jelly rolls or something. I guess he was at a bakery or something yesterday. I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention. I was watching the football game. But he was texting us something about jelly rolls. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'll just move on. Of course, the Judgment Day fall on this one. And Drew McIntyre, of course, runs out of the ring, nursing an eye injury, and apparently gets pretty pissed off and storms out of the whole building later that night. Why did he get pissed off, you say? Well, well, we don't know. But CM Punk, of course, it seems like we talk about CM Punk, whether he is in wrestling or not, just about every freaking episode that we've had. CM Punk returned again to wrestling. Of course, the way that they played this out was pretty good. I have to give Paul Levesque, or Triple H as he proclaims to be, credit on this. Apparently nobody, very few people in creative knew, very few people backstage knew, and the people that were in the ring only knew about 5 minutes before they went out to the ring. I have to
say. Yeah, I think we know why McIntyre was upset. He said he left off nursing an eye injury. Then what do you hear immediately? Look in my eye. What do you see? So, of course, he's going to take that person.
Well, I have to be honest, I was watching this on my phone, and, you know, they were doing the celebration in the ring and everything, so I turned it off. I just thought it was over with. Come to find out a few minutes later on social media that Mr. Charles Manson Punk, of course, did come back. Apparently Triple H took over the last few minutes of the match, called for the logo, or the end credits, if you will. on this one, and next thing you know, Cult of Personality hits, and Mr. CM Punk makes his presence known to everybody in the arena, including Seth freaking Rollins, who I think is doing a worked shoot. And is, you know, told him to go F himself, and apparently was being held back by Michael Cole.
That's how you know it's a work shoot. Yeah. Michael Cole holds him back.
Michael Cole's not holding Seth Rollins back.
The only thing Michael Cole's ever held anyone back from is good commentary.
Ouch.
Yeah, so that's, come on, what are you doing?
That's not nice.
I'm not nice.
But yeah, I have to admit, at first I had to question whether he was being real or not, and then I saw some more videos, and it's like, okay, Michael Cole's holding him back. Yeah, this is just a work.
Yep.
But all good in the hood. I think this is. I did not believe that he would be coming back on this. I think I stated this on the show.
Well, initially he wasn't, right?
I mean,
it was a fairly late developing issue from what I could tell.
Yeah.
According
to Triple H, it was the wheels did not get turning until 10 days before the pay-per-view. So it literally, according to him, it things started to heat up about the time things started to chill out online and everything, which I don't know which dirt sheets he was reading, but nobody stopped talking about it.
Right.
You could listen to the crowd the whole night. I mean, it's Chicago, Rosemont. This is CM Punk's hometown. It's always going to be, you know, at least 80-20 for him. So
whether he's there or not.
I mean, so and they sort of alluded to it a little bit going into it, like, oh, Randy Orton is supposed to be the fifth man in this. Randy Orton's not here, and then the crowd starts chanting CM Punk. Oh, by the way, Randy Orton actually does show up. And if there's one thing about this that I kind of hate, the fact that CM Punk returns kind of takes away from Randy coming back.
Overshadows, yeah, without question.
But I'm sure Randy doesn't care. So if he doesn't care, I don't care.
If the check's clear, I think Randy's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think he's good. He looked great, by the way.
Yeah, he's what 18 months off will do for you.
In phenomenal shape. He looks like he's packed on some muscle. So good for
really
him.
Put together, pal, which is what happens all the time in your mid-40s. Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah. But yeah, welcome back, Mr. Randall Orton. Now that CM Punk is here, though, give me a top three of who you would book him with.
Well, the obvious feud is with Seth. And as we discussed, I think you're going to have to kind of take the temperature of the crowd. And if they keep backing Punk as a babyface, then you turn Seth heel because he is not a good babyface. He's just not. And let him go for the assistant to the regional manager title. And again, that would, I think, add to the legitimacy of this completely made up belt. That would help it out. It'd show that established top guys are going for it. As mentioned here on a previous episode of the show, if you can turn Punk heel somehow, I think you make an excellent interim feud for Cody on the way to WrestleMania. So I don't think we're going to see Roman before then. Maybe we'll see him at Royal Rumble, but that's about it. I think he would make a good foil potentially for Cody, but that's kind of playing with fire because you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to step on Cody's pop and do anything to jeopardize number one babyface. If I had to pick a third opponent, you know, frankly, what's Bobby Lashley been doing? Has he been hurt?
No, he's been around.
He's been around. Okay, I think that would elevate Bobby and is a good, solid opponent for Punk too. Get a little more attention. I like Bobby Lashley. I feel like I haven't heard much about him lately.
Well, I think I mean obviously the obvious one, whether or not I want it or not, Seth Rollins is going to be his first one.
I'm sure they will.
The after that, I mean, there's so many different ways that you could go with that. As a fan, I want to see him and Shinsuke. They have never had a match with each other. So as a fan, I want to see Nakamura and CM Punk, which I'm actually surprised that they never crossed paths prior to now.
When were they in the same place at the same time? Is this
Well,
was this a possibility?
CM Punk was indie for a while. He could have easily gone to New Japan or wherever and had a match, but for whatever reason, they just never made that happen. And third, I mean, I think you got to put him with Roman.
Yeah, that's interesting. I almost went there.
You got to feed you got to feed him to Roman. I don't think that Punk is the one to take him out.
Shouldn't be. No, there needs to be somebody that can be built, like
But
Cody.
I think that that would be a they would definitely put on a show, I would say. And I'll just add a few more in here just because I'm being greedy.
Oh, some honorable mentions. You got some honorable mentions for this?
Kevin Owens, they,
Not that honorable of a mention, really, but okay.
you keep shitting on him. To hell with
I
you.
do.
There's absolutely no reason to. He's
It's just fun at this point.
genuinely one of the best talents out there.
Oh.
And from a fan's perspective, purely as a fan, and this can only be done at WrestleMania. This is the only place to do it. Because we never got to see it, the Texas Rattlesnake. I think that Punk can carry him to a good match, and I think it could be. And I'll tell you what I would prefer to see between those two. I would like to see a Texas Death Match, which is essentially a last man standing, but.
More or less, yeah.
But I think what people, and I was watching an old match between Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes, and it was a Texas Death Match. I think what people fail to realize is that wins, pins and submissions in it really don't matter,
Right.
because you pin somebody or you submit somebody, they have 10 seconds to get back up. So literally somebody can just put you in a headlock, you can submit, and then you get
And
right
they just
back
keep it
up
on
and
you.
then you keep it going.
Or they can just keep the headlock on you until you pass out.
Or yeah, theoretically, yeah.
Because the submission doesn't mean
So I mean that's what kind of
anything.
discourages submissions. You're more or less you're either gonna break an arm, break a leg, or paralyze them or kill them. Or just knock them out,
I
which
was going to
is,
say, you can make them pass out. That's really more, I
but
think, what you're going for in a submission there in a Texas death match environment.
yeah, I think that a Texas Death Match at WrestleMania, CM Punk, Straight Edge Society versus the Beer Drinker.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'd like to see a six-pack of Broken Skull Ranch beer on a pole match.
Well, Punk ain't gonna want to get it.
I know. That's the thing. Like he's only trying to keep Awesome from getting. He's not going for it himself. It'd be an interesting psychological, angle to the match.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun to watch. I would think between those two. And tell you what's not a lot of fun. It's Miss Sunny.
Well, I know she was quite a bit of fun in her day, but now those sunny days are going to be through the striped sunlight, unfortunately, for Miss Tammy Lynn Sitch, sentenced to 17 years, as I understand it, incarceration, and then 8 years probation after that. If I was listening to the judge correctly when I watched this, I did watch on YouTube. Yeah, I mean, what can you say? just a tragic situation for everyone on involved. Sonny, probably least of all, frankly. She had been no stranger to interaction with law enforcement, shall we say. So she'd had plenty of chances to straighten up and fly right. But for whatever reason, I believe in the wrestling parlance, they call them demons. She couldn't get away from those demons.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that, just as a recap, of course, Sonny, aka Tamara Sitch, was involved in a vehicular homicide, DUI, back in 2021, I believe.
Yeah, because I think they said she'd done like 500 some odd days, about a gunk through intercontinental title reign already in prison or in jail. So she got credit for that time served.
Yeah. And, well, she was sentenced, matter of fact, today. And it looks like she's going to get 17 years. To serve on this, and then she's going to get 8 years probation.
Which at her age, I mean, she is what, 50 something?
Something like that. So she'll be older whenever she gets out, obviously. And so, like I said, just a sad situation all the way around. The victim's family made impact statements. And it you can't help but, you know, you have your heart go out to these people, because by all accounts, the person that she killed, in by all accounts, seemed to be a very good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously thoughts and prayers go out to them. And but you also really hate to see Sonny go down that road, so to speak. And I hope she finds some sort of purpose in her life while she's locked up. She certainly has enough time to think about it and figure it out. And she certainly had more than her share of opportunities to correct it.
She never did.
And she also has a lifetime ban on ever getting a driver's license.
Yeah, because I mean, she'd had multiple DUIs leading up to this, and
she had 3 DUIs in 21 days.
Yeah, which is not, that's not what you're looking to do.
She was breaking restraining orders. I mean, she was absolutely insane.
I don't know. I mean, was it losing Chris? I mean, what, and that was 15, 20 years ago now. I mean,
I hate, all due respect to Chris. Rest in peace, Chris Candido. She's not the first person to ever lose a boyfriend or a spouse.
Right. Yeah.
And there are plenty of people out there that went through that didn't go down that path. And again, not discounting the fact that that is a very tragic thing, especially in the way that he went. Which just didn't,
bizarre. It was just a weird thing. Yeah.
And he had a blood clot in his leg from a surgery. He flew,
and then he flew right out.
Supposed to fly. Which I always thought that was a wives' tale. Apparently, it's not.
No, it's apparently legit.
But anyways, you really, like I said, you really hate to see that happen. I hope she finds some sort of purpose. And
I hope the family can find some peace.
Absolutely.
It's just a terrible, terrible situation all the way around. So enough depressing stuff. Let's talk about AEW.
AEW's got a few problems going on right now. First of all, they with obviously Mr. Punk showing up in WWE, he was their biggest star, and all due respect to Mr. MJF, there's probably no bigger star in professional wrestling. He's certainly top five, right?
Probably so.
And CM Punk, I mean, he, say what you want to about him, but the man moves the needle.
He does.
And so I haven't checked the Raw ratings yet, but I'm betting that the Raw they had last night is probably the highest rated that they've ever had this year.
I'll say, wait a minute. Whoa.
And anyways, people seem to be leaving AEW left and right. They've lost Cody, they've lost CM Punk, they've lost Jade Cargill, and right now they seem to have lost the ever important person of QT Marshall.
No, no,
QT
no.
Marshall, of course, is leaving AEW. Apparently, Tony Khan wants to move to a new Japan Pro Wrestling model, according to.
Now, when you say that, obviously I know what that is. What, for the people at home who may not know what that is, why don't you tell me what you think that means?
Their focus is on in-ring product and not so much storylines. So good matches, which yeah, New Japan has very good, entertaining matches. But they don't have anything in terms of, nothing that tells me why I should feel or why I should care. It's all just flippy shit. And which is interesting that now Tony Khan is saying he wants to go to that model, because honestly, I think they've been at that model for the
For
past
a while.
5, 6 months at least,
Yeah.
since Punk has left. And yeah, I just I don't I get, Tony Khan is his own man. He's a billionaire and he can do whatever the hell he wants to with his own money. Good for him. But it ain't about what you want, bro. It's about what
It's the consumer.
it's about the consumer. And
Yeah.
I'm sure that there is a solid 200,000 to 300,000 people in this country that want to see that, but that's
And they're
all.
tuning in, excuse me,
But
to
that's
AEW
all
every
it'll
week.
ever. That's all that it'll ever be. And MJF is so much better than that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's a waste of Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I mean, not that he's not great in the ring, he is, but to not have him cutting promos and having rivalries and angles with folks. I mean, that's a complete, you're leaving your best weapon in the holster here, man. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're MJF or not MJF, but if you're AEW, how do you stop the bleeding now? I don't think you stop the bleeding by making what's not working, like putting more effort to that. You don't sit there and say, ah, oh, the matches that we're having now that have no build and it's last minute booking and nobody cares about it. Let's do that times 20.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to go. I mean, it's like the beginning of, and I keep going back to a video game with AEW. Sorry. I haven't played a wrestling video game in some time. Back in the day, you could hit just a random match and it would give you random participants and random stipulations, and you just go, you just play like that. I feel like that's what AEW is doing. Just random participants and a random match. And, there's not escalating stakes and escalating stipulations in their matches. They start off with like a last man standing or a ladder match or whatever the case may be, and then they come full circle and have a singles match. Well, that's backwards. You start off simple and you get more complex as you go if you need to.
Well, and how would I fix it? First of all, I'm firing all the EVPs.
Yes.
Listen, you got a choice. You can either be management or you can be talent. You can't be both. There has never been an instance where that worked for any length of considerable time.
I mean, the closest is Dusty as Booker and also being in the in the main event circle. But that in and of itself, that spawned a lot of resentment and wasn't the best idea even within. And with all due respect, none of the EVPs are Dusty Rhodes. And it didn't
Dusty
work great with
Rhodes was
him.
putting asses in seats.
Absolutely.
The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are not. Jericho, not really.
As much as we may have been huge fans of Jericho in decades past, no, I would tend to agree with you.
And I mean, It says something whenever I would much rather see Sting and Edge than I would any of your EVPs. I mean,
it's well, the
Sting,
difference is
Edge,
they've made us
MJF.
care about them.
I mean,
Sting and Edge have made us care
hell,
about them.
Where the hell is Wardlow? Where the hell is Miro? I mean, these guys you made such a big deal about coming over. They're talented. They're huge. They're, you know, they look good on camera. What? I don't even know where in the fuck they're at.
Yeah,
you know?
And you know, we all pile on Tony Khan, and I'm going to continue to do that. But that's not really what this is about. And I guess to an extent it is. But I mean, but what he has been doing is just like a child. I mean, he's got his action figures. He plays with them for a while, and he puts it back, and it falls at the bottom of the toy chest. Then one day he finds it again. He plays with it for a while, and then you know, the cycle continues. He doesn't have any sort of seeming long-term booking plans. He doesn't seem to have any long-term vision for where he wants things to go. He's just kind of, oh, that guy. Yeah, that guy's awesome. Let's put him in a match. And then see you in 6 months. So how would I staunch the bleeding in AEW? Sorry, Tony, you have to bite the bullet and bring on and listen to someone who knows more than you. You know, I'm not saying run out and hire Jim Cornette, But no, get, if it's QT, if it's somebody else, let them do the booking for a while. As, you know, Cornette talks about, you got to wring your brain out occasionally. I said, Ernie Ladd would tell him that. Go wring your brain out, Tony.
Stop being an audience of one.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Okay, audience of two. You and Meltzer.
Yeah.
Bro, Meltzer, like, he is such a, like, don't get me wrong. We use Meltzer stuff here all the time.
Well, he's a great resource for a lot of things.
He's a good writer. I'm not saying I'm necessarily disagree with his opinions on matches. I agree with him quite a bit, but it's where it's his somewhere between Flair and Funk, and I don't know, WrestleMania 18. He changed. Like, this dude has gone from liking really good matches to flippy shit. And
yeah, tricks.
It's not, I don't like watching things that are obviously choreographed.
Yeah. But we can only see that so many times.
Make me believe it's a fight.
Right.
You know,
with people that I think would do well in a fight.
Exactly. You know, I don't want to see 6,000 super kicks because, you know what, back in the day when Shawn Michaels hit Sweet Chin Music, that means the match is over.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Obviously,
with
it's
extremely
changed.
Rare exception. Yeah.
Yeah. And if somebody kicked out of it, it meant something.
Right. Yeah. It meant something because people didn't kick out of it. So when it did.
When Undertaker kicked out of it, wow. He kicked out of Sweet Chin Music. You know, it's just, man, I just. Yeah. Like old Hank Jr. said, man, I'm a dinosaur. But I mean,
you
hey,
are.
I'm just saying, man, Kevin Sullivan is available. Arn Anderson, last I heard, is still available. And I'm sure he'd come back to you.
But, sure. Just got to bring Brock with him.
Which, you know, hey, that's fine.
Not the end of the world. I'd do that. That's a fair trade.
I have not formed an opinion on Brock yet.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I haven't seen enough of him too, but yeah, I'm not against him for sure.
Well,
but my point is, listen to someone who knows more than you do.
Be smart enough to know that you're not smart enough to know.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, it just, that's what I would do. It's going to take a lot of pride swallowing on Tony's part. And if he doesn't want to, fine. You know, do what you, to enjoy your 250,000, 300,000 people that are with you and be cool with it. Maybe they will be. Maybe they will be, and maybe that's enough for TBS or TNT. But just know that's where you're going to be. That's your ceiling, and you're at it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're MJF, do you stay?
Well, now that brings up an interesting question. Now, has he already signed? Do you think they would really be doing this bidding war of 2024 thing if the hay wasn't already in the barn and there was any question about where MJF is going to be for the next, for, yeah, for the foreseeable future.
I read something online where WWE is under the impression that he has already re-signed.
Yeah,
but there has been
I read the same thing.
There has been no indication that he has necessarily, but that's just dirt sheets. I don't think that that's necessarily true.
Let's go both ways. Let's assume for a second that it is, and then assume for a second that it isn't. First of all, okay, because assuming that it is true is easier. Then no, he's not going anywhere. He'll cry all the way to the bank, and that'll be that. And then whenever either one of two things happens, that contract ends, or AEW folds and gets bought out of as assets bought out of bankruptcy by WWE. Then he'll show up in WWE at that point. It can't be a 10-year contract. He's still a young man. I mean, he's what, 26, 27? So he'll have a long and hopefully lucrative career ahead of him by the time he gets to WWE. Now,
I'm MJF, I mean, AEW cannot afford to lose him.
No.
They've lost everybody else. Like, you would, the only person that you would have there that is bankable is Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. See, I still even call him by his
right. WWE yeah, it's name. Just, it gets ingrained. And I knew him as Bryan Danielson before he came to WWE. So.
And I don't care how many times Adam Copeland comes on there, he's Edge. it is what it is, man. I'm sorry, but you can't sit there and stake your whole company out on people that are still known by their WWE names.
Right.
This is your boy. This is your homegrown talent. You can't lose him. Pay him whatever the hell he wants, and double it. You know,
and be grateful for the opportunity.
Make him the highest paid wrestler in the freaking country now. That's the only way. And MJF, I'm sure, knows that.
Oh, he's a smart guy. Nothing else. He's a smart guy.
Now, flip side of that, he goes to WWE. I don't know that he really works out there, because what makes MJF so good is that he's a little unhinged when it comes to his promos, when it comes to
loose cannon, to borrow a phrase.
One, he won't be able to cuss hardly ever.
I don't think he needs to. I don't think that's the end of the world.
Oh, that's entirely his gimmick, man. I enjoy that.
But no. I'm saying it works for his gimmick, but I don't think he has to. I think he could do it without it.
I just, I don't know, man. Because if he leaves, then literally you're staking out everything on former WWE guys.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
and then what? So,
well, Darby. I mean, you got Darby, but you know, Darby. God knows, God forbid something happens to him.
The way that he goes, he'll be crippled in 5 years. I hope not.
I was going for the less feisty version of that, but yeah.
And I hope,
or he'll lose interest. I mean, he wants to climb mountains and do all this stuff, but he might just lose interest in wrestling now that, you know, depending on how well he saves his money, he, you know, 4 or 5 years of making good money at AEW could do him for a while.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. If I'm MJF, I mean, unless he's going to make me the highest paid wrestler in the country, I don't know if I stay. Especially if they're moving to that New Japan model.
Right.
His bread and butter. I mean, he's a good in-ring guy. Very good. Mm-hmm. But very, yeah. You know, he makes his money
hell of a on hand.
The mic.
Well, that's what I also wanted to point out about, you know, maybe a caveat to him going to the WWE. He's not going to get to ad-lib. He's not going to get to do his own promos in WWE. I mean, it's scripted down to the word for the promos anymore. You know, maybe that changes under Triple H. Hopefully it does, to where, you know, you let guys have more input, if not outright, you know, doing their own promos. I mean, the people that you can trust with that, obviously, Cody, CM Punk, you know, probably Roman would be on that list. Randy Orton, certainly. The guys that can be trusted to do their own should be allowed to do their own and kind of teach the others how to do it. MJF will not be being used to his full potential if someone else is putting words in his mouth. I'll say that right now.
But yeah, I honestly kind of like what Triple H is doing, and maybe he gives them a little bit longer leash.
Hopefully, but, yeah.
We'll see. But I'll tell you what else we'll see. We'll see you all later. This this, of course, has been somewhat of a quicker episode for us, a little bit different. We typically cover the old stuff, but so much news going on.
So much happened this past week.
We couldn't. We had to go over everything, and this isn't even everything. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff that I'm sure we could have talked about as well, but this is you got anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, we can talk more about football if you'd like. Go Dawgs, obviously.
Yeah, catch us in the Go Dawgs podcast coming soon.
There you go.
Oh, programming note, we have decided that since 1996 fits in perfectly on the calendar year, that it does for 2024, we're actually going to be going week by week on 1996 for professional wrestling. And yeah, so watch along with us and stay with us on that, because 1996 is a big year for professional wrestling. That
Indeed.
is, of course, the start of the NWO, and we're sort of knee deep in the Monday Night Wars. So looking forward to all that. If you have any requests for any episodes, do not hesitate to reach out to us. Maybe we'll get some special ones in there. Maybe we'll do a special one here, a special one there. Just let us know.
Bonus content.
We aim to please, and we please to aim.
But, well, also, certainly, if there's something that you notice is coming up and want us particularly to cover from 96, let us know that as well. We'll be happy to do it.
Absolutely. Well, that being said, JD, I will bid our listening audience adieu. I do.